Welcome, friends. Sarah and I have entitled this these series of episodes with Authentic Liberty and Conscience, Christ, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Authentic Liberty versus Licentiousness. And that's really going to be a crux point as we move into what is going on in contemporary society today. Often, when discussing terms of nuanced meaning such as liberty, a useful starting point is the dictionary, which gives a standardized definition. Liberty can be defined as 1, the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views, or 2, the power or scope to act as one pleases. Some synonyms for liberty are autonomy, choice, independence, and unconstraint. Antonyms for liberty are imprisonment, restraint, and captivity. Associated terms for liberty would include self-determination, preference, and license to do what one wants. The etymology of the word liberty is from the Latin libertas, the root being liber, meaning to be free. From the ancient definition of liberty, the notion of freedom is at its core. So we looked at definition, now we're going to look at philosophy. Philosophy can be very roughly, broken into 4 time periods: ancient philosophy, medieval, modern, and contemporary. All time frames fluid. And I have a link to the history of philosophy in the notes. We want to look at the 4th period of philosophy, for that's the one that we live in today. The 4th period of philosophy from 1800 to the present, known as contemporary, has as, if you will, an icon of a famous philosopher is Friedrich Nietzsche. For him, philosophy is totally unchained from an absolute idea, including God. There are no fixed principles. Without an objective norm to measure, human beings can make any claim about their existence without one being able to say that one is true or better than another. Though Nietzsche did not kill God, as his famous quote states, he did observe rightly that the Enlightenment thinking had done so. Man was at last free to get rid of the thou shalt not and to replace it with I will. Universal concepts of what was true and what was freedom is now both a product of each individual's choosing, and having no objective measure of value to choose, no measure of value for these choices. Liberty and licentiousness are used interchangeably now.
Yeah, I think that, a very quick reflection on that, particularly what you just said about there are no norms, right? Everything from that moment on, when it's a self-determination, a self-autonomy, even something as concrete as what you had just begun with, the definitions no longer have any real meaning, because if I am the determinant factor, there is nothing that is outside of my own will or my own desire, then the opportunity or the ability to even begin to discuss these terms breaks down. I mean, I've often thought, when you look back at the Enlightened period and this movement from, it's almost a contrary philosophy, even in and of itself, because everything, you had the people who were 100% materialist, that nothing existed unless they could see it, right?
That's correct.
You also had the people who were 100% subjectivist, meaning that they felt that what they saw is what they believed. So that's even right. There, you can already begin to see the beginnings of this rather insane type of philosophy. So we're really suffering from that, because if what I determine for me is right for me, and what you determine is right for you is right for you, and those things don't have any mutual existence that is exterior to ourselves, which is what Plato really discerned, right, is that truth and beauty and goodness are not within, but they're exterior. We don't have a language anymore that we can communicate to one another because it's all perfectly subjective. My opinion of freedom has no greater value than your opinion of freedom. My opinion of licentiousness has no greater opinion than your opinion of licentiousness. What we are left with is simply power of personality. And I'm frankly confident, Karen, that my personality is more powerful, so at the end of this meeting, my definition will prevail.
It is. It's the
isn't that absurd?
And that is absurd. That is absurd. And that is exactly where we find ourselves. I want to quote this. It's a famous quote. It's been commented on so often. Justice Anthony Kennedy, one of the Supreme Court justices, one has to presume an intelligent man. You do not get on, it's my opinion, that you don't get on the Supreme Court being a fool or being someone who doesn't know how to get out of a brown paper bag. No, I think he was very intelligent. And I think he spoke, if you will, for modern man, much as Nietzsche spoke for his age. And this is his definition of a heart of liberty. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of life. That, of course, will be in my notes. I also have a paper that expounds on this a little more fully. That, too, is in the notes. But, my friends, that's a stunning statement by this. One has to say,
I think it's not really that stunning, Karen. That is just Descartes' phrase, I think, therefore I am, writ large.
Yes.
I mean, that's it. He has basically taken Descartes' mantra or statement, which has been, I'm going to say it in some ways, totally bastardized from its actual meaning. There are ways that you can study Descartes and you can read him with the most charitable and the most gracious way of reading him. But I remember the first time that I came across that, and I thought, how can that be? How can thought precede being? I mean, it's so farcical. And I think of with Justice Kennedy. How does one define mystery? I mean, what? I mean, is that just the fact that you could put the term definition, define, and mystery together in a sentence? I mean, the mystery of life, to define the mystery of life. Well, that makes it rather unmysterious then, doesn't it?
It sure does. Freedom has gone from the pursuit of virtue rooted in an objective reality to the notion that liberty meant doing what one could envision, which is measured by the individual. A recent article from the Standard, 2020, shows the quagmire in which a notion of liberty rooted in subjective definition has found itself. A young man in critical condition had persistent signs of brain death. His parents want to harvest his sperm for future grandchildren. Without an objective norm for guiding ethical decisions, the court is left to decide whose personal concept of liberty should govern. Should it be the young man's whose wishes are unknown? Should it be his parents and their natural desire for grandchildren? The potential, should it be, their potential future grandchildren? Or should it be society in general? I propose, and I'm sure Sarah does as well, that it's time to return to the ancients' understanding of freedom in these modern, complicated times, and thus find the true heart of liberty. And we're going to find that true heart of liberty, which we're going to start tracking into, is going to be Christ. He's going to show us the true definitions of liberty and conscience. But perhaps we have to actually see the horrendous consequences that engender from being cut off from objective truth, so that we can say to ourselves, I think we need to do something different.
Right. Absolutely. It's gobsmacking that somebody thinks that just because they want to do something, that they are thereby free to do it. I don't know how we've arrived at that.
That's right.
It's really, people have become, without even being aware, they've become entirely Machiavellian. And they think that they're not Machiavellian because they think that their intentions are so, think that they're not Machiavellian because they think that Machiavellian had evil intentions and they think theirs are so good. But the issue with Machiavelli is that the belief was that, and this is also kind of a little bit of a misreading of him, that the ends justify the means. And so consequently, no one is permitted to discern a now. We have to project every benefit into the future, which means that we don't pay any attention to price. And so consequently, because no one will argue with the fact that grandchildren are good, therefore, any means of getting grandchildren are good.
That's correct.
That's not true. It's simply not true. And it demeans the human person to think that we are simply, I don't even know how to, outcome producers. Right, that is highly problematic because it really robotizes us and takes away our humanity. If all choice, I'll leave it at that.
All right, my friends, we are going to pick up a little bit with Evangelium Vitae and John Paul, and then move into conscience. Till the next time, Fides et Ratio.